give thanks to the fount of life, who is good, for her faithful love is everlasting. Thanks to the Majesty of Majesties, for her faithful love is everlasting.
Who worthy of us great wonders, for her faithful love is everlasting.
Who through insight made the heavens, for her faithful love is everlasting. To the one who made the great lights, for her faithful love is everlasting.
The sun discovered the day, for her faithful love is everlasting.
The moon and stars to govern the night, for her faithful love is everlasting. And brought Israel out from among them, for her faithful love is everlasting.
With a strong hand and an outstretched arm, for her faithful love is everlasting.
Who cut the Red Sea in two, for her faithful love is everlasting.
And made Israel pass over through the Mississippi, for her faithful love is everlasting.
But churned Pharaoh and his army in the Red Sea, for her faithful love everlasting.
And brought her people through the wilderness, for her faithful love is everlasting.
It was just before the Passover festival. Jesus knew that the hour had come for him to leave this world and go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. The evening meal was in progress, and the devil had already prompted Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot, to betray Jesus. Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power and that he had come from God and was returning to God. So he got up from the meal, took off his outer clothing and wrapped a towel around his waist. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash his disciples' feet, drying them with the towel that was wrapped around him. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, "Lord, are you going to wash my feet?" Jesus replied, "You do not realize now what I'm doing, but later you will understand." "No," said Peter, "you shall never wash my feet." Jesus answered, "Unless I wash you, you have no part with me." Then Lord Simon Peter replied, "Not just my feet, but my hands and my head as well." Jesus answered, "Those who have had a bath need only to wash their feet. Their whole body is clean, and you are clean, though not every one of you." For he knew who was going to betray him, and that was why he said not everyone was clean. When he had finished washing their feet, he put on his clothes and returned to his place. "Do you understand what I have done for you?" he asked them. "You call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, for that is what I am. Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet. I have set you an example that you should do as I have done for you. Very truly, I tell you, no servant is greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. Now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them." When he was gone, Jesus said, "Now the Son of Man is glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God is glorified in him, God will glorify the Son in himself and will glorify him at once. My children, I will be with you only a little longer. You will look for me, and just as I told the Jews, so I tell you now, Where I'm going, you cannot come. A new command I give you, love one another as I have loved you. So you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another.
My reflection tonight is called, Why, Lord? Why, Lord, is a question I ask myself a lot. Why, Lord? Why? Don't often hear many answers, but as I sat with this text, I thought the disciples must have been thinking this of Jesus. Why, Lord, do you wash our feet? Why do you talk about your death? Why do you say one of us will betray you? Surely that cannot be true. Why do you say one of us will deny you? That can't be right. Then today I had a moment. I was in a room of the great and good, of all the priests, deacons, bishops, and lay leaders across the whole diocese. We went to reaffirm our callings in the cathedral. And as I was there, I just felt myself saying, why, Lord? Why? These people know what they're doing. They know when to genuflect and when to light a candle, when to put the right colors on an altar frontal, when to do the thing the way it should be. Why am I here, Lord? I don't know if you've ever been in a room that zooms out, and though you're packed in with everyone, all of a sudden, you realize that you're all alone. You are just there. The world is happening around you, but you know it's not your world. It's not who you are. It's not part of what you're doing. I had that moment in the cathedral this morning, and I had to get up. You know, we were doing the right things, and I had to leave my seat and go to the bathroom and splash my face with water. And as I made it to the bathroom, I saw my friend, and he was in there too. And I thought, oh, why are you here? Are you hiding as well? And he looked at me and he saw that I was not doing okay. And he said, mate, there's a seat around the corner. It's really quiet. You can come and sit here with me. And he dragged me off into the transept, as they call it. And I sat at the back, feeling like the room had spun out. And then I was sitting there, just trying to center myself, asking God, why, Lord? Why me? And it got to communion. And I was going to stop and not take communion. I didn't feel right. I didn't feel like I was in the right space. And then, as I sat there, the person serving communion is Bridget. Sorry, but that's how I feel this Holy Week. So I had to go. I was called because the person serving was someone I love. So I took communion and I sat down and I cried. And I asked God, why, God? Why me? God said, not in words, but because I had to write this sermon afterwards, he put people in my way. He'd put people in my way. don't know the answer to why, Lord. And I don't know why I'm crying. God, you know, if Pat was here, she'd tell me, Chris, stop crying. You make me cry. But I do know I felt utterly looked after. I was able to recover from that moment. It didn't unpack me and unravel me for the rest of my life. It was just a moment. It was a moment worth seeing, feeling, experiencing, worth acknowledging, all those moments. But it wasn't something that was damaging. It was a moment where God said to me, you are looked after. I've put people in your way. They hold me, they locate me, they ground me when I don't know what's going on. So as we think about this meal with friends, this moment in Jesus' ministry, which nobody could have understood, we've got the next bit of the story as we sit here. They didn't. They sat there looking at him going, why? What are you doing? This isn't right. It's a bit weird today, isn't he, Jesus? Do you think he's had too much of the wine at dinner? God is calling us in our memorial to ask the why, to mourn as we go through Good Friday and Holy Saturday, not knowing that Easter will come. But also knowing that he has told them in this story exactly what he's doing. I will wash you clean. Your salvation is in me and with me. And I will leave you the Eucharist, a meal that you can have to remind you of my grace. That I am always with you. So I offer you this tonight. I offer to wash your feet. Not as some ritual that a priest does to make himself feel humble in one moment, but as a genuine remembrance that he has called us, the ones who follow, to wash each other's feet, because we are to be people who bring joy and change wherever we tread, and we need to be cared for and located in Jesus. We come together to be his followers, and people will know who we are. And I'll let you remember what was just read.